heard much that we could go home and meditate upon and grow on. I'd be willing to go home right now and to meditate upon the things that we heard. Flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing today. So, yeah, just the blessing, Steve, as you shared on brokenness and being complete surrendered. We know when a horse is not broken, it's completely useless. I remember trying to break horses. When we were wanting them to come forward, we'd grab a hold and try to lead forward, they'd go backwards. Or we'd try to go push them forward, they would go, or pull them back, they'd go forward, whatever. It's just useless. And in God's eyes, it's the same way. When a person is not completely broken and surrendered unto Him. I know, Steve, thank you for sharing your heart. You had a little confession there as well. But I want to say, God used you in my life as well back then. He did. I know you shared some hard things, and they were needful for my life. So they weren't all in vain. You said that sometimes you thought you were coming across strong or unbroken, but God used you in a mighty way and a zealousness that you had. So praise the Lord. The message that I want to share on today, preach on. I'm not sure why I chose this topic, but I think I preached it. I look back, I think it was like 7 years ago, something similar. But it's going to go with somewhat Steve shared with about brokenness. Without brokenness, there's no life, no eternal life. So before I begin, let's all stand, and I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, as Jesus says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, I pray here today that you'd feed us today with your word of God, Lord. As you already have, Lord, with Brother Steve and Jason here, Lord, on our conscience, our guilty conscience, Lord. Let's keep a pure heart, Lord, before you. It says, a pure in heart shall see God, and a clear conscience before you, Lord. Keep our hearts surrendered and broken before you, Lord, where you can use us in a mighty way. The Father, just pray for Mom this morning as well, Lord, as she's home, Loretta's mom. That you would bless her, Lord, and you'd give her healing. You'd just comfort her and give her peace at this time, Father. Dad as well, as they're at home, very likely listening in. Lord, bless them in a mighty way. We thank you, Lord, for every brother and sister that came today, Lord. That you'd bless them, put up their hearts, and Lord, mainly just share through me, Father. Without the Spirit of God, this would be a dry word. So, Lord, we pray that you would meet with me and just share the words of God. Commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I just want to share a message on heaven or hell. It's your choice. The choices you are making today, you're choosing your destiny. Every choice today in your life, you know the ones that you're choosing on a daily life. You're choosing your own destiny. It's up to everyone. We know that greater is He that is in us than the one that's in this world. There's God made it very, very possible for every man to enter into the kingdom of God. But many, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. And you wonder why. And I just want to share a little bit on my life. And up till 29 years old in my life, I know many of you heard my testimony, but I just want to share briefly here before I begin. I was living a life of the devil. I was a liar, a cheater, adulterous in heart, just an evil, evil man. The choices that I were making were evil. And I knew if I would have died, I would have went straight to hell. I knew that. But it seemed like we didn't have the teaching to know what it took. But yet it seemed like we didn't care because we loved the things of this world more than the things of God. I love darkness rather than light. I love my sinful life. In my walk of life, I was choosing hell over heaven, just the choices I were making. And I wasn't completely just totally ignorant from heaven, from the choices as well, because we had a mom that taught us the things of God growing up. She would tell us many things. I remember walking out on a Saturday night, and she would come over, and she would kneel down with us and pray with us and tell us if we're out tonight and we're doing evil things and we die, she would tell we're going to go to hell. So we knew a life of sin, what that was the life of righteousness. Mom taught us the best that she knew, so we knew. But I still chose hell over heaven for many years of my life, over half of my life. And I remember when I came to the accountability at the age of 10 or 11 on account that happened, something that happened. And the first time in my life, I finally, I realized that I was a sinner. And it was somewhere around 10 or 11 or 12, I'm not sure. The things became sinful for me. Especially at the age of accountability, and you come to that point, God is drawing. He's dragging. He wants us to come to the kingdom of God. He doesn't want us to roam around in this world. And I knew if I didn't deal with the sinful things, you know, it will take me further. It will take if you don't deal with things in life, it will take you further than you want to go. And it did. I lived a wicked life up until I was 29 years old. Even I knew that I was a wicked life. Of living a wicked life, I had no power to change my life. I tried many times without prevail. And I remember growing up and someone mentioned about the end of the world soon, and I knew I wasn't ready. And I remember taking my TV out of my house and smashing it and just changing a lot of things in my life. But I had no power over my tongue. I had no power over sin. I had no power over anything. Because I did not, like Steve said, totally surrender to God, be broken, and repent, and get born again. I never happened up until I was 29 years old. And we see here, as I want to speak on hell a little bit, as I looked, a lot of people say that hell was spoke. Jesus spoke more on hell than he did heaven, and I didn't quite find that. Unless someone correct me on that, but heaven was spoken far more than hell. But hell, he did speak of. So I'm going to just speak of this, and I know that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure why I'm speaking on this, but maybe there's some in here that it will speak to you in a deeper way. And I don't plan on speaking on hell, try to scare you into heaven, because it never worked for me, and I'll share that a little later. But we know that hell was designed for the devil and his angels. When the devil and his angels, when they rebuked against God, and they cast them out, and that's when he designed hell. It says that, then shall he say also to them with the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for mankind. It was not intended for us. As God created mankind to bring honor and glory to him, as he did for the angels, the sin. The same way as the angels. He created them for his honor and glory, to worship him. He created each and every one of them perfectly. But yet, as they sinned, he did. He cast them into hell. And he's going to do the same way today. Same thing today for mankind. As it says here in 2 Peter 2, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and he delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with the overthrow, making them an example unto them that they should live ungodly. So God is going to do the same to the unrepented wicked men and women today. The choices that you're making, your life that you're walking habitually, you know, we each know our destiny. We know our lives. You know, as I was sitting there pondering, you know, today, as we ponder heaven and hell, the choices, our destiny, I was sitting and I thought of this. If I would have the ability to lock eyes with any one of you, as soon as I would do that, your whole life would flash up here on this board. Would you feel comfortable at this time doing that? Could I do that? Just pick one and look, and your life, your whole life would flash up here. And I was pondering on that, would I be comfortable? Is there things in my life that I could deal with? Of course, there is. There's things in our life that we can always, you know. But is there sin in your life? Would a lot of sin, would there be covetousness? Would there be pride? Would there be hatred? Would there be envy? Would there be strife in your heart? And if that, and as we read the Word of God, and if that's not dealt with, we see how that, for so many times, it destroys so many people into this lake of fire. And that's what the fire, that's what hell was created for the ungodly, for the wicked, for the evil men. And we are in here, and I trust that's not. But just to challenge our hearts, can we? Can I look and flash up here, and this is the heart here that says, this man's been redeemed. He got love. His pride has been dealt with, and he doesn't have no envy. There's no covetousness in him. There's no, is that our life? If we continue to allow that to lead us in our life, it's going to take us to a place that I'm talking about if it's not dealt with. If there's unrepented sin in our life, maybe you never repented in your life, ever. Your hell's the destiny for you. I mean, I say this because of the Word of God. I don't say this on my own agenda. This is the Word of God. So who are going to be there? Who's going to be in hell? As we read there in chapter 2 Peter 2 there, it says, but there are false prophets among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and to bring themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Many are going to follow the deception of the Satan, by reasoning of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Even through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Then I read 4 and 5, I'll just read it again. For if God spared not the angels with sin, he made them perfectly, he made us perfectly. But if we continue in sin, he won't hesitate to cast us into hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, of a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemning them with overthrow, making them an example unto them that should live ungodly. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. For the righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise the government. These are the ones, here he says, that are going to be kept in chains until everlasting destruction. That walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise the government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power, might bring not relling accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemish, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart that they exercise with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the sons of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass spake with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophets. He said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those were clean escaped from those for them who lived in error. While the promises them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For after they have escaped the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcame. The later end is worse than the beginning. Then these last two verses, interesting. It says it's been better off that if someone that's been walking with God and knew the ways of Jesus, it says, for it has been better for them to have not known the way of righteousness then, after they have known it, turn to the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happening to them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to her wallowing into the mire. And I don't know if I fully understand that. It says it's better off for them not have known the ways of God than turn back. So we have a high calling in here as brothers. We all heard of God. We know of God. We've been born again, the majority of us. Let's press on. As we know that there's many people that we know that seem like are turning back and turning away. And hell, as I'm going to read here a little later, hell is not a party or vacation place like many say. I heard some say, I'd rather go to hell to be with my friends than to go to somebody I don't know. I had people tell me that. I'd rather go shovel coal in hell with my friends. And we realize they do not know what they're saying, right? They don't. But I had people say that also, where I'm going, you know, he said, I don't need a lighter for my cigarettes. And we know that there won't be no cigarettes. There won't be no partying. There won't be any of that. It's a place of torment for the wicked. There's no playing there. There's no good times. As Revelation 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast in as well. The lake of fire and the brimstone where the beast and the false prophets are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. You ponder that? I had someone just say, that's not true. Hell is not for forever. I mean, come on, we sin for 50 years of our life and we die. God's going to torment us forever when we only sin for 50 years? Okay, torment us for 50 years and then let us burn. That's how I see it. That's what he said. But according to the word of God, I'll read that here in Revelation 14 later, but it talks about as the smoke that rises forever and ever. But as it says about the lake of fire and brimstone, okay, we're pondering that. A few years ago, we were at a campsite, camping, and Brother Mark had a little, some brimstone he got from East. He went over there and he found, you can go over there and still find the brimstone sulfur and some of that, and he lit it up. And if you did as I did, I went and I let that smoke and I inhaled it. And I remember that stuff burning all the way up through my head and the back of my head. It burned. It stung. Okay, let alone be separated from God for eternity. Imagine suffering on brimstone and fire and brimstone and sulfur. And also, he says it's great outer darkness, hell. It's dark, pitch dark, great outer darkness. And it has a bottomless pit, falling forever and ever. And I ponder that. We as brothers, we like sure foundations. We like to have something solid on us. I remember, when I was younger, we took a lot of these rides at the amusement parks. And you know how it is, and they drop you 400 feet, and your heart just almost goes out from underneath you. You want to hit something. You want something to grab you. And I ponder that. It says you cast into outer darkness, bottomless pit, for eternity, falling and falling. And I had several falls as well, off of ladders and off of roofs. And you're just wanting to hit the bottom. You want this fall to end for me, even though the bottom, this ground is gonna hurt, but you want it to end. Not there. And I'm saying this just a reminder. Maybe some in here that never made a decision. I'm not trying to scare you in the kingdom this way, and I'm going to talk a little bit on heaven here at the end. But the greatest thing, the greatest torment in hell, I feel, is being separated from God. He's going to be there doing the tormenting, and Satan is going to be, as they say, I'm going to be, as some of my friends said before, not friends, some of that I knew, that I want to be with my friends and the devil, and, you know, shoveling coal. Well, the devil's going to be in there. He's going to be tormented likewise. Same as every evil person in this life. He's not going to be doing the tormenting. It's going to be God. But the greatest separation, the greatest torment, I feel, is being separated from God. No more existence of God. Like for a Christian now, I mean, when you wake up in the morning, what are your first thoughts? My first thoughts go to God. They do. I just think of God, just another nice rest that He provided, and He blesses us with a family. And my thoughts go to God throughout the day often. Can you imagine? And you feel the love of God. Can you imagine not having ever to feel the love of God again in your life? As it says in 2 Thessalonians verse 1, who should be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? Think of that. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of His glory? Hell is real. Revelations, let me speak on Revelations here, 14. We're all familiar with that, how they were... How John's viewed this. He's seen this in a vision. Or actually, he was taken up in the third heavens. It says that, and I saw another angel in Revelation 14, verse 6. In the midst of the heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, to every kindred, the tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of the water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of the fornication. And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of His indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. Think about that. In the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. That's torment itself. I think you'll be able to see them, possibly. I don't know. And the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night, who worship the beast in His image. Whosoever receiveth the mark of His name, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yes, saith the Spirit, they that may rest from their labors and their works that do follow. But what I wanted to just share on there, and the smoke of the torment that ascendeth up forever and ever. And hell was for real. And as I remember a few years ago, I was laying on my couch, and I felt my sciatic nerve in my leg start in, and it was more than about an hour. It was so great. It felt like someone taking a knife, a hot knife, and jabbing my leg from the top to the bottom. I never had pain like that in my life. I fell and I broke my ribs and punctured my lungs and all that, but never had pain like this. And I told my wife, just take me to the doctor. Take me to the hospital. In this life, we can go to the hospital, right? We can in this life. But in hell, there's no doctors. There's no hospitals. It's just that I just pondering that, the pain that I just had there in my leg. It was severe. With hell being a horrible place, the scripture says the majority are going to be there. Does that make sense? Somewhere it says that in Isaiah that hell enlarged itself. I'm not sure when that happened. But the majority are going to be there. Yeah, I'll just read that. I think that's Isaiah 5, I think. Is that right? Am I know? Yeah, here it is. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp. And he that rejoiceth shall descend in it. When it's God's heart that every man would be saved, why is hell being enlarged? It's because they love darkness rather than light. It's because they're not willing to be broken in their life and surrender their life to God. They love their sin more than the righteousness of God. And we see that the devil is doing a great job deceiving mankind. As it says there in Revelation 20. A few more verses in this and I'll switch sides here a little bit. But Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Matthew 24, verse 21. And it says, "For then shall the great tribulation, such as it was never since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Then this next verse here in Matthew 24, verse 22. This is what Jesus says. He says, "And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh to be saved." Ponder that. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The devil is a good deceiver, right? He's a great deceiver, and he's deceiving many. My encouragement, let's not be deceived. Let's continue looking to God, His ways. One more. Second Timothy 3. It says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, petty, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." Then it says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." It says, "Forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." So we see in the last days, I think we see that. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." They're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers. "Without natural affection," they're false accusers. "They love pleasures more than lovers of God." We are definitely in the last days. In Matthew 25. "For all those," this is Jesus' words, he said, "Then shall he say unto them that on left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Ponder these verses here. Who is Jesus talking to here? He says, "For when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see thee hungry? Or athirst? Or when did we see you as a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison? and did not minister unto you. When was that? When did that happen? He said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not unto one of these least of these, you did it unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteousness and eternal life. Now, them verses were a challenge to me. God help us to be faithful in the kingdom of God. We know that sin will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but will be cast into hell. There will be unrepentant, those with good intentions, lukewarmness, and etc. in hell. I just want to say that was my life, my destiny, for 29 years of my life. Glad it didn't end there. I would have been in hell for sure. And I remember when I switched paths, and I want to share here, and it wasn't because of going to hell necessarily, even though that God can use right? But it happened when I started to learn of God. When someone stopped and started giving me some messages to listen to, that is when that happened. I mean, when I started knowing, when I started seeing some of these verses, how he can take a wicked person as I and forgive me and wash me whiter than snow and love me. He says that we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And when I started pondering some of those verses, it made me weep, made me cry. John 1:9, this is the very first verse that I remember reading ever from the Bible. I opened up my Bible and I read, but I don't remember ever reading any other verses. And John 1:9 was my very first verse. Romans 10:9 was the second. It says, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Romans 10:9 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are my first two verses. And I when I read these, it did something to my heart. And I wanted to be with God. I didn't even ponder at that time the place that I was destined to. But it was the love of God that drew me. And I remember that day clearly. When I got on my knees at home, as I seen my wickedness state, as I seen my sinful state, full of sin, much, etc. And I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me. And as I repented of my sins there that afternoon, right there beside my door there, as I repented of my sins, someone want to guess what happened? Amen. Forgive me. I know that day he written my name into the book of life. Because if we ask, in 7 here it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. He says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be given. And just for the children, look at this right here. If any man there of you, whom if a son would ask for bread, none of our fathers would give you a stone, never. Or if you would ask for a fish, we would not give you a snake, we would not give you a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give those good things to you that ask him? And that's God. And he did. When I asked for forgiveness with a true repentant heart that day, he forgave me. And I remember the burden of sin rolling off that afternoon. And something happened. And I could not for sure tell. I didn't know for sure what it was. I didn't know what it should felt like. It's not that I was a completely felt different and in the cloud 9 and all that, but something was different. As the burden rolled off, and Jesus cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. And I entered into the kingdom of heaven, where there's peace and joy and happiness and love. The list goes on and on. And I remember one thing a few weeks later. I used to have a tongue that would curse and that said evil words daily. And all of a sudden, a week later, I realized that I'm not cursing no more. He changed my heart. And as I shared with a man, you know, soon after that, about not soon after that, but years later, about my Christian life and what God has done, he told me, he said, yeah, he said, I tried it too, but Christian life is too hard. I can say living a sinful life, that's a hard life. There's emptiness and there's guilt and there's sin. There's no peace and there's no joy. And waking up in the morning with emptiness and waking up with a guilty conscience, that's a hard life. And we lived that for many years. So Christian life, I mean, it's like we see that when we learn to know the love of God, it changes everything. As it says there in 1 John there, when our lives change, it's no about do's and don'ts. I mean, it's not about if we need to do this and we need to do that. It's amazing how God transforms us into the other kingdom. I think it's John here. For the love of God. For this is the love of God. Let me just read all of them. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth God, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, and we keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous. They're just a joy to keep after we're a child of the King. For whosoever is born of God overcometh this world. We overcome the great trials of sin from the Satan, because greater is he that is in us than the one that's in this world. Jesus is greater than he is. And this is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh this world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. So we see that his commandments are not grievous when we have the proper fear of God. Praise the Lord. So today, I just want to share before I go on here, I just want to share a little bit of my life. So today, I am a child of the King. And there are still needs in my life that God needs to work out, and I need to have him allowed to work out, but I know I'm a child of the King. And I would never trade that for a life of where I come from. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into his kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And I know if I continue in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is my destiny. And it's a beautiful place. It's where God is, as he's sitting around the throne of God. I mean, as he's sitting around the throne, there's no more sadness, there's no more death, no more crying, no pain. The list goes on and on. So why would the majority want to go to hell when heaven is a beautiful place? And I'm just going to read some verses in Revelations here referring to heaven. It's a place for the redeemed. It's not a place for the wicked. As John was taken up, he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. In Revelations 21, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for his husband. And I heard a voice, a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and their God. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ponder that. No more tears. No more sadness. And there will be no more death. And death here is painful, as we many of us have loved ones that passed on through the years. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. God said, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the words of the true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will come unto him that is athirst and giveth He says, that is the thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. I'll give unto him freely, him that thirst and come. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, the idolaters, and all the liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Who was that? As one of the angels took John and said, come up hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that is the chosen, the redeemed. Were we in that? Were we in that number? And there came unto me one of the seven angels, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a great wall, and it was high, and 12 gates, and the 12 gates angels' names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Then it goes on, I'm just going to skip a few verses, it talks about all the stones, the foundations and all that. Then the verse 22, he says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God. The glory of God itself was the light of it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth to bring honor and glory into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day and night, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor to the nations in it. Then it says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that blessed me, and I read that verse. There will be nothing in heaven that can defile us anymore. That can defile any man. No temptations, no evil temptations. Then he went on, continued on verse 20 or chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, either side of the river, was there a tree of life which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were the healings of the nations. There should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. His servants, we shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there will be no more night there. There need to be no candles, neither light in the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And this is a place for the pure in heart. But it says in Matthew, for the pure in heart shall see God. And it's a place for those that repented of their sins. Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a place for the redeemed, where no more curse. And there's room for all. The scripture says that there's room for all. Every man that was ever created, there's room for them in his house. As it says there in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's room for every soul that was born. Then Hebrews 12, 22, but ye are come into Mount Zion, and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an unnumberable company of angels. Unnumerable. It talks about when John saw this unnumerable mount of people. Well, you know, we can count to billions and trillions and whatever. We can count, men can count. But here John saw a number in heaven that they could not count. So there's going to be many people there. But on all this time throughout ages, the billions and billions and billions of people that came, majority of them, won't be there. In verse 23 in Hebrews 12, it says, "To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, and to God the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect." That's what John saw in heaven. There were just men made perfect by God. In Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and all people of all tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." John saw this. He saw the vision of this. I often ponder, you know, my mind goes, was I in that? Did he see me? "And I cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb." A few more verses here, and I will bring it to a close. In Revelation 7, "Therefore," verse 15, "therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." That's God. A dwelling among us in this place of peace, joy, rest. Why would we miss heaven for the things of this world, which are temporal, which are only 80 years average, just for the pleasure of our life, for the pleasure of just of sin for a moment, then it passes away, then that, why? We ponder that because the devil is a great deceiver. But greater is He that is in us, right? He that is in us can keep us. Let's don't forget that. He's able to keep our souls. He that beginneth a good work in us will also perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let's not lose focus. "And they shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun of light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them." He's going to feed us. The Lord Jesus is going to feed us. "He shall lead them into the living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." That's joyful. Let's not let the things of this world distract us. I'm talking mainly to me as well, brothers. I get sometimes busy, and sometimes I lose focus on what God really wants from us and what He has planned for us. If we see that in a greater way, and as I studied for this yesterday, it did a work in my heart just to see all the preparation that took place that God and the Lamb did for us. He prepared. They're still preparing, and He's excited to have us there. Let's not allow the things of this life. It's a beautiful place reserved for the redeemed, only for those that made preparations to be there, only those that accept their invitations that we heard Brother Noy share yesterday. We know the whole world been invited, but a very few have accepted the invitation. And we know that you're not going to just stumble into heaven. You can do nothing to get to hell. You don't have to do anything. It'll take you there. But heaven, there's preparations. Even though I know a hell is a sinful life, that you make choices, but heaven, there's preparations that needs to be done. In Revelation 19, "And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments." And we know that nobody in hell will feel like they were misjudged, because He is a righteous judgment. "For He had judged the great whore, who did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and had avenged the blood of the servants in her hand. And again, they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts, they fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a great voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you servants, and all you that fear Him, both great and small. And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These things are true sayings of God. And John said, I fell at the feet to worship him, the angel. And the angel said, Get up. He said, I am a fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Worship God. He told the angel, Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of the prophecy. Heaven is a place of eternal hope of the saved. Scripture describes it as a beautiful city where the redeemed will live for eternity. What we'll be doing in heaven, we'll be singing, worshiping God, serving, fellowshipping with others. There'll be eating. But the greatest thing about heaven, where we can spend eternity away from any cursed things, and also be there around the throne of God with the Lamb, with our families, our brothers and sisters, and be spent around the throne with Jesus Christ, our Lamb, and God the Father forevermore. And I just want to just one more verse. And if there's any in here, Brother James shared this last Sunday. If there's any in here that have not accepted the invitation from Jesus, you can do so today. Don't miss out this beautiful place that God has prepared for every one of us. God bless you.